In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One of the hard lessons that a newly ordained priest learns, and usually rather quickly, is that not everyone is going to like, love, or even tolerate him. No matter how wonderful you think you are, someone is going to take you down a few pegs. And yet that is usually for the best. Because we tend to come out of the seminary with our heads a little large, and they need to be shrunk a little bit. And the laity take care of that. Now sometimes it's just the way things work out. Some people, they can be the best of people individually, but when you put them together, it's like fire and gasoline. Two personalities that just don't mesh. And yes, sometimes the priest does the wrong thing. Now, I'm not talking about the stuff you hear in the media lately. I'm talking about little things like a careless word or not returning a phone call, something like that. And sometimes we are even disliked for doing the right thing, for teaching what the church teaches, and following the practices of the church. What do you mean, Father, you're not going to do the funeral for my grandpa if we scatter his ashes? Well, that's right, I'm not going to do it, because the Catholic teaching is that we treat human remains with respect, and that means you don't scatter grandpa all over the landscape. And by the way, it also means you don't keep grandpa on the shelf in the living room. So, if he's on the shelf in your living room, come and talk to me and we'll work out a way to make sure that the remains are interred with proper respect. Now, this is true not just of priests. It's also true of parents. How many of you are parents? Raise your hands. I bet you thought when your first kid was born that you would be the very best mom or dad possible, that you would love your kids and they would love you in return, and it would all be like a glorious 1960s sitcom. And then the kid turned two and learned the word, the two-letter word. Exactly. No. Then came the teenage years. I hear confessions. I know about the teenage years. But smart parents along the road realize that they're not there to be liked. They're not there to be their kid's best friend. They're there to be their child's parent and to do the right thing and to love their child. And sometimes that means being the bad guy. How many of you are teachers? No, oh, I know there are a couple of teachers. Do you strive to be popular with your students? No. And that's a good thing, because I was just thinking as I was writing my homily about the teachers that I had, and I was really lucky. I had, overall, awesome teachers from kindergarten through 12th grade into college and into the seminary. I had some fantastic teachers. But the very best teachers, I can say with 20/20 hindsight, were the ones I really didn't like at the time. Because they're the ones that challenged us to do better. They didn't make everything fun all the time, but they did make it fun some of the time. And they really helped us learn. And the same thing can be said of being a boss or all sorts of things. I know of an older priest, he's since retired, who said to me, when I was a young priest, I said, Eric, any priest who's universally liked is not doing his job. And I think that's true about parents or teachers or just about anyone. If you're popular with the world and with everybody, you're probably doing something wrong. And this was certainly true of our Lord. Think about our first reading today, which is a prophecy of our Lord, written before he lived upon earth. He is the just one. He is the Son of God. And why did his enemies dislike him? Because he did the right thing. He lived not according to the vagaries of society or of the way things were done in the world today, but he lived according to God's law and received a martyr's reward for it. But everyone liked Jesus, right? No. The scribes and Pharisees, the Sadducees, the party of the temple priests, all were not amused with Jesus at all. And ultimately, it led to his death. Which is good for you and for me, because that means that Jesus died for your salvation and mine. Think about Jesus' followers. They weren't universally loved, weren't they? No, even the great saints. Now, some of St. Benedict's monks actually tried to assassinate him by poisoning his cup. That's why when you see a statue of St. Benedict, you're almost always he's holding a cup, and the cup is broken. And there's often a raven nearby because the raven helped save him from being poisoned. Mother Teresa. Everyone loved Mother Teresa, right? No. There's an atheist named Hitchens in England who did a hit job documentary on her called Hell's Angel. Didn't like her at all. John Paul II. Everyone liked St. John Paul II. No. The Lutheran bishop who was on the Nobel Prize Committee repeatedly blocked his nomination for a Nobel Peace Prize because of his opposition to abortion and contraception. And yet, look at all the good work that they did. They strived not for popularity, but to be faithful to the gospel and to do God's will, which is exactly what our Lord did. Do not strive to be popular. Again, St. Teresa of Calcutta said, we are here to be faithful, not successful. Well, we could alter that a little bit and say we are here not to be popular, but faithful. It is almost always a bad sign if you are popular in the world. Instead, we should strive to always do the right thing. And if we do that, then we will be loved not by the world, but by God. And eternal life will be our reward. And this is part of the meaning of what our Lord was trying to teach his disciples when he told them that the one who wishes to be first must be last of all and servant of all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.